Greetings to all of you. Thank you for joining the lesson. It's week three of the COVID quarantine, and I hope you are safe. I pray that you're healthy. This morning, we're talking about Jesus setting the captives free. And one of the things that he set us free from is fear. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. We'll be looking at the words of Christ to John in just a moment. You've probably heard of Ann Landers. She was a newspaper counselor who received an average of 10,000 letters each month, and nearly all of them from people burdened with problems. She was asked if there was any particular problem that dominated the others from all the letters that she received, and she said the one problem above all others seems to be fear. We live in what has been called the age of anxiety. And if you've binge-watched the news lately, you know what I mean. A 24-hour stream of bad news showing the foundations of society crumbling. It's depressing, and it creates anxiety because there's nothing you can do about it. At the heart of anxiety is fear, and at the heart of fear is our focus. I want you to see something. There are three spheres of concern for every human being: life, death, and eternity. Three spheres. And Christ has set us free from the fear of each one. In one incredible statement, Christ gives us assurance not to fear life, not to fear death, not to fear eternity. Take a look. "And when I saw him," John says, "I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" Notice first that Christ sets us free from our fear of life. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives." You know, we face many fears in life. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of the future. Fear of the past, fear of the unknown, fear of death. And of course, the sum of all fears, the greatest fear of all, public speaking. Yes, public speaking actually ranks higher than the fear of death in almost every poll, which proves that fears don't have to be rational to be real. I had to go to the dentist last year, and they require you to fill out a form. And I'm answering the questions, you know, do I take medicine? Do I have major health problems? Do I have allergies? And I'm answering no, 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 no. And halfway through the second page, I'm feeling really good about myself. No pre-existing conditions, no major surgeries, no prescriptions. But then they threw in a question I'd never been asked before. And it stopped me cold. The question was, "Do you experience anxiety from dentistry?" Ouch. My perfect score was totally ruined. I had to admit, I have anxiety going to the dentist. I hate going to the dentist. And as far back as I can remember, going to the dentist meant one thing. It meant pain. I thought I was doing so well. But I do have that one anxiety. There was a poll of teenagers on what their fears were. Top fear, failing school, 44%. Loneliness, 33%. Not having a boyfriend, not having a girlfriend, 30%. Fear of rejection, 28%. And then there's all the phobias. Too many phobias to list. And with all these fears, sometimes we literally worry ourselves sick. Has that ever happened to you? I remember receiving some terrible news a couple years back. And as soon as I heard it, I just felt the energy drain out of my body. I felt my face turn white. And you know what? That night I got sick. And I was sick for a week, and I had not been that sick in years. I literally worried myself sick. Fear can have a chain reaction of problems. For example, fear prevents spiritual growth. John tells us that many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him for fear of being banished from the synagogue. Fear can prevent spiritual growth. Fear also takes our focus away from the Lord. Sometimes we end up focusing more on our fear than the Lord. Emerson said, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. Also, fear distorts reality and magnifies our problems in our mind, causing us to see the worst in everything. You remember the acronym of FEAR, F-E-A-R, false evidence that appears real. Fear can manifest in different ways. Did you know that fear can manifest as jealousy? The fear of losing a spouse can manifest as jealousy, bitterness, even hatred for others, or even for ourselves. Constantly comparing ourselves to others rather than being thankful to God. Also, fear can cause people to become controllers. It distorts our behavior. Since they can't control their fears, they try to control everything and everyone else. For by controlling every aspect of their life, they might be able to eliminate their fear. Of course, they can't. Fear steals our joy, our peace, our hope, and our love. Because even when a fear is not real, it is real to the person who fears it. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Christ sets us free from our fear of life. There is one proper form of fear, and the Bible calls it the fear of the Lord. It is defined as extreme reverence and awe toward God. The fear of the Lord, you've read that through the Proverbs, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. It will prolong life. It is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life, sparing one from much evil. The fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. Isn't that interesting? That there is one proper form of fear, and it's called the fear of the Lord. In the New Testament, it's called godly fear. Notice what's interesting about the fear of the Lord. Oswald Chambers says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. How interesting. What have I to fear? If my life is in the hands of God. Jesus went to the cross to set us free from our fear of life and of death and of eternity. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Christ sets us free from our fear of life. Christ also sets us free from our fear of death. Remember, John has been banished to the island of Patmos, and when he sees Jesus, he falls at his feet as dead. John is a courageous man. He was the only apostle who didn't flee, who ended up staying at the cross when Jesus was crucified. And yet when he sees Jesus, he falls at his feet as dead. But Jesus laid his right hand on me, he said, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." You see, Jesus sets us free from our fear of death. The fear of death is universal to all humanity. The book of Job, death is called the king of terrors. Solomon likened it to being caught in a cruel net. William Barclay says the fear of death is so natural to man that all of his life is one long effort not to think about it. We don't even like the word, so we use euphemisms. Someone didn't die, they passed away. Or they've gone to be with the Lord. To avoid the thought of dying, the world overcompensates by focusing and worshiping the cult of youth and beauty and health. But this only makes it worse, since our focus is entirely on self. But an unobtainable self, not found in reality, but in a social media fantasy. And the result is our sense of alienation and despair grow worse, because we're trying to achieve some unobtainable perfection. Why do we fear death? Why do we fear death? One researcher came up with 7 reasons. The first is because death is mysterious and unknown. It's normal to fear unknown things. Moving to a new city, getting a new job, getting married. All mysterious and unknown things. But death is the greatest of all unknowns. No one returns to tell us about it. Also, we fear death because we face it alone. Death is the darkest door of all, and we all pass through alone. We also fear death because we are separated from loved ones. Will we ever see our loved ones again? We also fear death because our personal hopes and dreams will not be realized. Death ends our hopes and our dreams. We're no longer able to plan or learn or build or grow. All we've accomplished is left to others. We can't take anything with us. We also fear death because we fear the end of life. The process of dying is the ultimate humiliation. And then after death, will there be life? Or is it the end? This is why people fear death. Another reason is because we fear the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And another fear of death is the fear of judgment. Even atheists who deny life after death have a moral fear of judgment. That usually comes out before they die. And number 7, because death is unavoidable. Even Jesus experienced death. And we're not exempt from experiencing it either. But for the Christian, remember, Christ sets us free from the fear of death because he defeated death by his resurrection. Remember in Hebrews, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Jesus set the captives free. And one way we are set free is we are set free from the fear of death. Now, we fear death because death is mysterious and unknown. But remember, Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Not even death can separate us from the love of God. We fear death because we we face death alone. But you see, we're not going to be alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We actually aren't alone. We fear death because we're separated from loved ones, but we're going to spend eternity with loved ones. We actually won't be separated as much as united. We fear because our hopes and dreams will not be realized, but the ultimate hope, the ultimate dream, will be realized. Eternal life. We fear death because we fear the end of life. But death is not the end, but the beginning of a new and eternal life. Jesus says, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. We fear death because we fear the judgment. But Jesus went to the cross to set us free from judgment. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, who are in Christ Jesus? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have been clothed with Christ. You see, we no longer approach God as a criminal goes before a judge. When we're born again, we don't go before God as a criminal goes before a judge, but as a child who goes before his father. He adopted us into his family when we became born again. And number seven, we fear death because it's unavoidable. Death is the darkest door, but it leads to the brightest light. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Romans 6, Paul is talking about baptism, and it's a picture of death and the resurrection. And so as we're buried with Christ in baptism, we are raised to walk in newness of life. We're raised a new creation. Did you really think that God would let death have the last say? Death is unavoidable, but the resurrection is unavoidable as well. God was not going to let death have the last say. God has the last say. So Christ has set us free from the fear of death. And Christ also sets us free from the fear of eternity, the fear of what happens after death. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Jesus set us free from our worst fears by his sacrifice of love on the cross. He set us free from the fear of what we will face in life. He set us free from the fear of death. And he set us free from the fear of what comes after death. Notice the words of Christ in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus sets us free from our fear of what we will face in life, our fear of death, and our fear of what happens after death. He's gone to prepare a place for us. So, how do we overcome fear? How do we have victory over fear? First of all, if you're worrying, you're not praying. Worry has to be a cue. If you're worrying, that has to be a cue to remind you, if I'm worrying, I'm not praying. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we have victory over fear? Number one, if you're worrying, you're not praying. Anytime you start to worry, let that be a cue. Let that be a reminder. It's time to pray. Number two, if you're focusing on fear, you're not focusing on the Lord. Let that also be a cue. If fear creeps in, remember that if you're focusing on fear, you're not focusing on the Lord. Psalms 46 has been a great psalm of comfort for me. And when I watch too much news, which I sometimes do, and the world seems like it's crumbling, I go to Psalms 46. Because Psalms 46 reminds me to be still and know that God is in control. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. There's a river that flows from the throne of God, and there's nothing that can happen on earth that's ever going to change that. God is on his throne, and there's nothing in your life that will happen that can change that fact. You know, there was a woman named Florence Chadwick, and in 1952, she took on the challenge of swimming from Catalina Island to the shore of mainland California. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways, so she was confident that she could handle this challenge. The day of the swim was foggy. She's going to swim from Catalina Island to mainland California, but it's foggy, it's cold. She could hardly see the accompanying boats that were following her. And she's long into the swim. And even though she's totally exhausted, her mother is encouraging her to keep going, telling her how close she was to the shore. She's telling her, don't give up. But finally, in complete exhaustion, she demands to be taken aboard the boat. And when she got into the boat, she realized that she wasn't even a half a mile from the shore. She was less than a half a mile from completing her goal. The next day at a news conference, she said, all I could see was the fog. I think if I would have seen the shore, I would have made it. Do you see how important your focus is? She was focusing on the fog. She was focusing on her exhaustion. She said if she had been able to see the shore, if she could have focused on that, she would have made it. So if we're focusing on our fear, we're not focusing on the Lord. We're not focusing on the goal. And number three, how do we have victory over fear? If fear is a continual controlling problem, and sometimes it is, at different stages of our life, if fear is a continual controlling problem, we need to go to God's Word. You are not the only one who has struggled with fear. King David did. The prophet Elijah did. The apostles did. You would be surprised how many fear knots are actually in God's Word. When feeling overwhelmed, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. When feeling forgotten, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When surrounded by enemies, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He asked that his eyes would be opened so he could see the angelic army. When tempted to loneliness, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. When tempted to despair, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle belongs to the Lord. When you fear losing everything, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When threatened by criticism of your faith, Jesus said, therefore do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Sometimes I wonder, how do people get away with the things that they do? The wickedness, the corruption, the lies. They're not going to get away with it. Don't fear. Don't fear them. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be known. Eventually. What about when feeling worthless and forgotten? Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of much more value than many sparrows. God knows what you're going through. He knows you better than you know yourself. I want to share this quote. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartened, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes useless, faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in God. You see, Christ set the captives free. And we were set free from the fear of life, from the fear of death, from the fear of eternity, because perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes I wonder if Timothy, young Timothy, as a young preacher, struggled with fear. Because notice what Paul tells Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Yes, God's people at times struggle with fear. That's why there's so many fear nots in the Bible. But I want you to remember, if we fear God, we won't have to fear anything else. If we don't fear God, we will fear everything else. May God bless you this week.